Sean Higgins has been good enough to join me for the last time for the year. Sean, great to have you back on. I really appreciate you coming on every week this year in what's been a bizarre year for the club and for you, but you've been brilliant. The fact that you've been up for grabs every week for us. So thank you to you for the year you've given us.
No worries at all, Dwayne, and good to be back for, yeah, as you mentioned, the last time. Exciting for the, well, for all footy fans after lost in the wilderness a little bit. I even felt a bit the same as a footy lover last week. So it does now, even though it's on the other side of the country, it feels like the grand final's not far away.
It does, especially watching the Vision Melbourne training this morning. For those Melbourne fans, Stephen May got through training. He was fine. And the Bulldogs about to run out onto Optus Stadium as I speak. So exciting stuff in bright sunshine. Paul Roos did say earlier on the program it would be great if we had the grand final parade this morning here in Melbourne, but they might have got blown off Bourke Street the way it's blowing out there at the moment. Sean, what are you doing tomorrow to watch the game, and who do you think might win it? What do you think might happen in the game?
Yeah, well, I'll just be sitting back at home watching. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure if it's the week off or maybe just how close the two sides are. But for some reason, the game's getting closer and closer in terms of the margin for me. The longer the days go by and the closer we get to the game. I chatted last week that I thought Melbourne had the game style and were just in the form, particularly even more so than just the last couple of weeks. But what they've been able to do all season around the football and the way that they structure up behind the ball, I was leaning towards Melbourne. But, geez, as I mentioned, as close as the game comes, I'm really finding it hard to split them. And I do get a sense that the Bulldogs are right in it, and they're so dangerous. I touched on last week that when we played them during the year in the game that was decided after the siren, I walked off and thought, well, at that time, I thought we were as good as any team in it. But if there was one side that was going to challenge, then it was the Bulldogs. They were super that night, so everything's stacking up to be a really close one. And I'd probably just lean towards Melbourne, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's decided by under 10 points.
So do you think the extra week off is going to be a factor, or only a minor factor and so minor that it shouldn't be changed? Where are you with the week off?
I'm not sure under normal circumstances that too many people would agree that the week off before the grand final we need. But in terms of this year, I think it's going to be a talking point, because whatever the result is, it's going to come back to what the week off played. But to be honest, I mean, as a player, you'd be ready to go. If we had got through last week and had 2 weeks off, everything was built around maximising that week off and how we could produce our best if we did get there. The two sides that are there tomorrow would be feeling exactly the same. I think it's almost irrelevant. You could argue both the for and against both sides in terms of the Bulldogs playing one extra final. But let's be honest, I don't think Melbourne would be going in with too many excuses with the way that they've been playing either over the last 4 weeks.
No, that's a fair call. Should we dump the Medi sub next year and just have 23 players, so 5 on the bench, and if you lose 2 or 3 through concussions during the day, well, that's just the way it is?
Yeah, maybe. I think the hard thing with that, and you just raised it then, is we're probably then going to find a situation at some stage where 2 go down early on in a game. The other side maybe look like they've got more run. It's just one of those things that I think you raised before I was listening with the Brownlow medal voting, that you can throw up plenty of different ideas. We're probably never going to get it perfect, but let's be happy with what we've got. If that's a Medi sub, well, let's use it to the best of the ability. If we decide to go no sub at all, well, let's go back to 4 on a bench. And if we do need to even it out a little bit, just in case there are some head knocks with the new protocols, then maybe we look to go 5 on the bench. I'm not really too fast either way. It's as many rule changes. It's great for programs like this to discuss it at length, but really, does it really matter? I think we'll get on with whatever's dealt.
And the May leaver scenario, I spoke to Ash Hansen, assistant coach with the Bulldogs earlier today, talking about kicking around them. It's not as easy as it sounds sometimes, is it? You've experienced that firsthand?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Alir, another great example as well in terms of that drop-off defender that's so crucial. This is why it's going to be fascinating to watch. Two sides that in many ways have gone about it similar in the way that they build their game on, you know, getting the stoppage right, contested ball, both powerful through the midfields. You can argue both sides defend really well, one probably slightly different to the other. Melbourne clearly have got the drop-off defenders that are so crucial when the ball comes inside forward 50. The battle's going to be in the midfield. It's a flippant way to look at it. But it really is, because if the Bulldogs are able to flick the footy around and play the offense that they have for so many games this year with little heat on the ball, then I'm sure they'll slice through any opposition, including Melbourne's defense. But if there's pressure on the ball and it's coming in high and it's working to Melbourne's favour, then Lever and May are going to have a field day. And that's why I can't wait to see how they go about it. Bulldogs are normally heavy numbers around the contest. They like to bring their forwards up, their halfbacks get involved, and it really is built on what sort of look can we get going inside forward 50. And then Melbourne on the flip side want to intercept that ball coming inside forward 50. So it's going to be a key part of it. They sort of do go hand in hand. You can argue if Melbourne are dropping off and intercept marking across half back, then clearly their midfielders are applying serious heat around the football and forcing the Western Bulldogs to dump that kick in high and long. So that's what their midfielders will be trying to do, to set up and allow their backs to play the game. But if the Bulldogs can get it right around the contest, then they're going to get really good looks going forward.
Max Gawn, how important is it to have a ruckman giving your midfielders first use, or is it your actual starting three around your ruckman who are more important, so the ruck contest itself not as vital as it is to stop Max Gawn's around the groundwork where he can be a little more decisive? Where do you see the whole trying to stop Max Gawn and getting clearances versus around the ground impact?
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand with Max. He's a ruckman that I think can give you first use for the Melbourne inside mids, but also he's so dangerous around the ground. And some people argue that the rucks aren't that important, and maybe in years gone by the premiership side hasn't had a dominant figure in the ruck, but I think we've seen just how important Max has been. I was fortunate to play a number of years with Goldie, who in many ways during that period was as dominant as what Max is, and gives you first use around the contest, but then also is damaging around the ground. And as an inside mid and a midfielder there for a number of years, give me a ruckman that give you first use any day of the week. And it really is an advantage. Now, it's not to say you can't adjust and go about it slightly differently if you don't have a dominant ruckman. Many sides do. But the Melbourne midfielders, they get to play their game. They get to be aggressive. They burst through the front of the contest. The Tracker and Oliver are powerful inside, and it does come off the back of some first use, hitting to advantage, and then just giving them the opportunity to be able to structure up. And we've chatted about the inside look before, but Melbourne sometimes do go one down around the ground inside stoppages. And maybe it is because they know that when it's all said and done, the opposition ruckman's probably not going to get their clear hand on it against Max. And maybe we can go one down, knowing that if Max puts it in at a predictable spot for our midfielders and advantage side, that we can deal with that. So he's going to be a huge part. I mean, it's as good a preliminary final as any individual's played last week, let alone a ruckman. If he produces anywhere near that sort of performance tomorrow, it's going to be extremely difficult for the Western Bulldogs. But yeah, he's a key to the game, not only just for what he can do with the hit-outs and then pushing forward and kicking goals, but also are then allowing the Tracker and Oliver, Viney, to be able to do what they do, as I mentioned, being really powerful. And they're at their best when they're getting hit-outs to advantage and breaking free of the opposition. So, yeah, that's a big watch. I heard Lockie Hunter talking the other day that clearly Max is already in their plans, and he would be from any team, that they need to check his run around the ground. They need to make it really difficult for him and be physical with him, because hopefully that will be able to wear him down over the course of four quarters.
Yeah, nicely summed up. Sean, Ben Brown, it's a nice story, isn't it, to get that opportunity that Ben Brown's now getting?
It's a great story, yeah. I remember chatting early parts of this year on this program and said that he's going to be one of the great recruits. Maybe he got a little bit slow to get going. He had that knee operation and, you know, fitting into a new side sometimes can take a little bit of time, particularly for a key forward. But, you know, it was only 2 years ago, you could argue, is the best key forward in the competition. He had to go through a lot on and off the field last year. It's a great story, and he's a key to the way that they go about it. He was great early on in the game last week. He gives us a great target for Melbourne midfielders to be able to kick to. And it's not so much Brownie, even tomorrow, taking big marks and kicking goals. If he can bring that ball to ground, this will probably be the same as the Norton and the Western Bulldogs forwards. But if you can bring the ball to ground, trap it inside forward 50, create stoppages or opportunity for your small forwards, then good things happen off the back of that. So he's going to be a key to the game, but even more so just for Brownie. As I mentioned, what he went through last year, it's great opportunity. It's 12 months is a long time in footy compared to where he was last year. And now he gets to live a childhood dream of running out in the grand final tomorrow. So I wish him all the best.
Your North Smith medalist?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm probably leaning towards Melbourne if that's the case. And if it is, then I think it's going to be one of Oliver and Petraka. But I'll go Oliver only because of what he's been able to do all year. And normally, someone that polls that many threes throughout the year, I'm sure he can back that up in a grand final as well. And for Melbourne to get the job done, Max Petraka and Oliver have played well, and I'll lean for Clayton to get the Norm Smith.
And how's the club you're at now going at the moment? Sean, you've lost a couple of assistants. Matty Scarlett's now departing. Everything okay there?
Yeah, he obviously news this week on the back of a couple last week, all slightly different circumstances that we mentioned. But for a player, it's always hard now because they're champions of the club and there's change. But all football clubs go through change. They've had the same coaches for a long period of time. It's going to be a real sense of fresh air, excitement, new ideas, and something that I think the group's going to cherish. And it's going to be a really exciting pre-season. I can't wait. There's that feeling already for me of a grand final tomorrow that gets you going and gives you the motivation for next year. But also, we've still got a group that, you know, within a month or two ago, people were saying as good as any group in the competition. Now that group's the same. I could make cases that we're going to be better again next year. And with new coaches and a few fresh ideas, I'm really excited what we can do. So it's always hard when there's some outside noise, which there will be, but things will settle in the next month or two once footy goes out of the headlines and we'll get to work, have a big pre-season. And I can't wait for what the summer and then the new year is going to bring for us.
It was interesting to hear Chris Davies, head of football at Port Adelaide, say the players haven't had their full debrief from the prelim final because players had to get going. So they haven't actually sat down and watched the vision and gone through it bit by bit. Have you guys done that? Have you had your full debrief, not just on the game, but you're also your exit interview?
Not as a full group because we obviously finished in Perth, and from that period of time, we'd seen out our quarantine. You could come back if you needed to, and there was plenty of guys that stayed over in Perth as well. So we haven't. We've chatted post-game, and we've caught up as a group the following day, but to strip that game apart in detail or then talk about what we need to improve on going forward, that we haven't. There's been some exits, clearly all medical. It's done in, you know, I could bore the listeners, it's done in different steps. Medical, strength and conditioning, coaching. So guys in contract, guys out of contract, there's many different ways to go about that and ways that it needs to be stripped back. But to answer your question, not in its entirety, and it's obviously a little bit different to how it would normally run in other years when you're in Melbourne or Geelong and you've got that week to be able to do all your exit meetings and that sort of thing. So we'll look at it closely in the pre-season, but really I could imagine with a new coaching group that will always almost be about what do we do really well, what do we need to improve on, and how do we get to work on that. And that's the exciting thing. We're going to have a little bit more time this pre-season than we did last year. Guys are in better condition, not as many surgeries. So So, yeah, it's exciting what the summer's going to bring for us.
Sounds like you haven't had your one-on-one yet with the coach.
I've chatted to the coach. Yeah, I've chatted to the coach, but not in its normal format that we have in other years, but that's just the COVID period over the last 2 years. Things have done a little bit differently, but every player knows exactly where they'd be at right now and what's needed to be done. And for me personally, my program's pretty much started for the summer, so I'm back into it.
And it sounds as if, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're telling me that it's kind of the change you needed to have. Is that the way you're feeling?
Oh, I'm not saying that it needed to be done this way, but you got to look at it. You got to look at the situation, and you can see it as a problem, or you can see it as great possibilities. And I choose to see it with great possibilities with myself, and the playing group as well. And footy clubs are so robust; like, they continue to roll, and there's always significant change. I've been a part of two groups in the past that have lost coaches throughout the season, and you think seriously that the world's going to end that week, and you turn up and you roll through, and footy clubs continue to be the heartbeat and pump every day, and you continue to move forward, and that's in season when there's a game within 5 or 6 days, and we've got plenty of time now to go to work. We'll get some really good people in, some new ideas, and as I mentioned, we've still got a great list, some players who are the best players in the competition, and we're looking forward to what we can do.
Great to have you, Sean. Again, thank you for the whole season you've given us. There's a lot of texts coming through saying they've loved what you've given us as well. It's been nice to tap into your brain on a weekly basis. So enjoy the summer. Thank you.
Love you, Jordan. Thanks for having me, Dwayne.
Geelong star Sean Higgins joining us.